Thank you very much. And as you also see here, I'm not the first author of this paper, but in our case, I must say, fortunately, Sascha Disch cannot be here today because his family has been enlarged by a second daughter 2 weeks ago, so he can't be here. And I'm working at the International Audio Laboratories in Erlangen, which is a joint institution of the University of Erlangen-Nuremberg and the Fraunhofer Institute for Integrated Circuits. What's the motivation for the work I'm going to present here is that you often do in music production, you rely on mixing pre-recorded material, samples, and you also need to adapt these samples frequently to different musical contexts than the context they were recorded in. So in some cases, you might need key mode conversion. This means major to minor or vice versa. And the basic algorithm for enabling this task has been presented in previous conferences, and this is called MODVOC, Modulation Vocoder. It's somewhat suitable to this task, but we also found out that there were special enhancements necessary in order to address special requirements for this application. So I first want to give a short overview on this MODVOC algorithm, which performs a single pass analysis in a blockwise processing, which is shown in the block diagrams here. It does first signal adaptive bandpass filtering, which is aligned with spectral centers of gravity. This means we first have the DFT analysis. A DFT analysis, and from the DFT spectra, the centers of gravity in perceptually adjusted bands are determined, and the bandwidths are adjusted, so they have, this decomposition is flexible. So from these centers, center frequencies, and around these center frequencies, you construct bandpass filters, and they are done in the frequency domain, and an inverse DFT gets back for each bandpass signal to a time domain signal, and this time domain signal, bandpass signal, is then analyzed with an AM and FM analysis. So you basically have the carrier frequency, which corresponds to the center of gravity of the special frequency region, and the FM signal, which gives the instantaneous frequency offset relative to this carrier frequency, and you get the instantaneous magnitude or amplitude in the AM component. And then you can process the signal in this modulation domain. For example, you can change the carrier frequencies and still maintain the fine temporal structure by keeping the AM and the FM. And in the synthesis, you have to combine the FM component with the maybe modified carrier frequency. You have to somehow bond the different components from one block to the next block because it's temporal blocks, as I said before, which is done here. And you do an overlap add processing of the AM and the FM, or the instantaneous frequency signals, in order to get continuous parameters. And then you do the synthesis and add up all the signals from the different bands you had decompose the signal into before. So this is the basic structure of the modulation vocoder, but due to the structure with the relatively long blocks in the DFT analysis, you still miss some of the signal characteristics by this processing, and this is one of the parts we addressed by the enhancements. And this, the first of these enhancements was the so-called envelope shaping. It means temporal envelopes within the DFT blocks might get lost or distorted because you can lose the, due to dispersion, you can lose phase relations between the different tones, and this could cause a temporal smearing of transients. And in this case, it's better to use an explicit temporal envelope and you get access to the parameters of this temporal envelope by doing an LPC analysis in the frequency domain, because correlation in the frequency domain corresponds to multiplication in the time domain. This means with LPC coefficients, you get from LPC analysis along the frequency axis, you get parameters you can use for getting a time function, you could say a time response, which you can then at the end multiply to get back the temporal envelope. This is what is done with these red blocks. These are the enhancements for the envelopes. Another enhancement which is necessary once you start modifying spectral components is that you have to take into account that musical sounds are not normally consisting of a fundamental and a lot of harmonics or overtones, and you should keep this in mind when you modify frequencies. So the overtones are quasi-harmonic on a linear frequency scale, which are normally integer multiples of a fundamental frequency or nearly integer multiples. On the other hand, the musical intervals are based on logarithmic scales. And now it's a question, when you modify frequencies, in which way you should modify them. And of course, we want to modify them in the best way for what we intend to do, for example, for the transcription. And we have to consider this, because if it's an overtone of one fundamental frequency, we would have to modify it in accordance with the fundamental and not according to the musical scale that, if it would be a single tone on in another part of the scale. So, and this leads to some kind of ambiguity when you get one tone and just look at it on its own. So that's why we have to get some additional interpretation to find out whether it's a fundamental frequency or if it's an overtone or a harmonic component of a more complex sound structure. And this is just an example of how intervals of the scales can match the harmonics. And just one example here to pick out could be the number 5, which is 5 times the fundamental frequency of one tone, could be also another tone, which is a major third apart. In this diagram, the multiples of octaves are not taken into account, so you can have some ambiguities between second and also the fourth harmonic, which would then be just multiple of octaves and so on. So that's why you get kind of ambiguity with overtones and musical scores. And that's why this second enhancement had been added to ModVoc, which is called harmonic locking. So as I said before, the estimated fundamentals have to be mapped directly. And then you have to decide for the components, if it's a overtone, then it has to be locked to the transposition of its fundamental, which is done in the processing here. You decide for a harmonic tone if it's locked to another frequency or if it can be transposed on its own. And by this switch, it is done either the transposition of the MIDI node-based mapping, which is done for the fundamental frequency, or it's done a transpose according to its fundamental if it's locked. As it's a double negation here. If it's not non-locked, then it is locked and it has to be locked to the fundamental frequency and its mapping. Now we come to the listening test methodology. It's a bit a difficult task if you do this kind of transcription. So we selected MIDI samples, which we first had in the original domain, and we did MIDI transcription to obtain files which we could then put into the test. So these were the transcribed reference signal, which is done by MIDI, and then transfer to a WAV file. And on the other hand, we get the original WAV file and we processed it with the transcription, and then we can compare the two. And we have different versions, three versions of the ModVoc and one reference transcription system, which I will also present here. There's one commercial system available, which is a direct node access in the Melodyne editor by Celermany. And this is available since autumn 2009. And it also allows selective editing of polyphonic music. But it performs a multipath analysis, and it does an automatic decomposition into nodes and with heuristic classification rules. But it also can be used to perform this key mode conversion, and so that's why we also try to compare our approach with this one. And these are the items we used from Mutopia project. We used some different signals, different MIDI files, as I said before, which are shown here. And this, we try to get some variety of more complex orchestral music and some more solo instrument parts. So quite a mixture of complexity of content. These were the results of a so-called Mashra test. I don't want to go too much into detail. In this test, we have normally a hidden reference, which is denoted by one. We have a so-called reference, which is just a low-pass filtered signal, which is denoted by number two. And we have the ModVoc, the original ModVoc. The ModVoc is number three. ModVoc with the harmonic locking is four. And ModVoc with the harmonic locking and the envelope shaping is five, and six is the DNA, the system we compare to. But now first we want to see how our enhancements work, and here we see, for this one example, we see a difference between four and five. This means the addition of envelope shaping was here for the guitar. The guitar onsets were much clearer, and so somewhat preferred by the listeners. And here we have the difference, clear difference between the original ModVoc and the ModVoc with harmonic locking, which delivered better timbre for piano signal. But we also see that in most of the cases, the DNA performed better. And I can maybe first summarize these results here, that the harmonic locking really improved the timbre, the envelope shaping also improved the transient parts, but DNA was rated better for 5 out of 7 items, and the rating could cover different aspects of the sound change which was performed here, like unnatural sounding artifacts or melody or chord transcription errors or timbre preservation or failures. And the listeners informally reported a trend for transposition errors in DNA and timbre problems for ModVoc. So we made an additional test, which was a formal preference test on these main quality aspects to find out more if this is really the case. And for this, we had 12 expert listeners having both technical and musical background. And we had now the extended ModVoc and compared it to DNA. And we also found out in the first test that this unknown melody, which is a transcribed version of the original MIDI, is somehow hard to grade for people. So we did it the other way around. We did the transcription with MIDI and transcribed it back to the original score. With our algorithms. For four signals, which are shown here, also orchestra and some mixture and piano. And now we put these files in the preference test. And the outcome was quite clear in the sense, as the people had reported before informally, that there was a quite a clear preference for the melody transcription for modvoc, which is shown here. Modvoc is always the bar on the left side, and these are the results for the transcription, music transcription, and here are the results for timbre, which are, show the clear preference for the DNA. And I can play an example. I can play all the files together in short versions in the order as they are shown here. First the original. I think the some problems in the musical transcriptions in the DNA were even obvious in these listening conditions here. So another example is this is the piano. If you still have time, I play also the files here. Okay, so just a short summary. We have now the modvoc for selective transposition of pitch, which is capable of real-time processing and which can produce transients and also improves the timbre by harmonic locking. And it's preferred over the commercial system in terms of transposition of the melody, but the DNA is still preferred in timbre preservation. So, and maybe in general, both of the systems were in the range from fair to good. So there's room for improvement, but still already somewhat usable, the system. Thank you.
Any questions? One question I had is, were the listeners trained, listeners, golden ears, or were there...
For the preference test, it were people who were also had some musical background, which is quite important for this timbre grading, let's say.
But they weren't signal processors.
Were not special golden ears, no.
Any other questions? One harder question. What would you like to do? I mean, if you had all the signal processing power and all the smarts you could do, what would you like to do to solve this problem?
I think it can be made a bit more complicated. If you can imagine that you have tones which are a mixture of maybe harmonics and fundamental frequency and so on, or different harmonics of different tones which match on the grid. So then, of course, the decomposition is much more complicated. And of course, for this, you would need quite more optimization. So I think this would be one of the ways where further improvement could be achieved.
That'd be good to see. Anything else? Frank? Can you use the microphone?
On your bullet point up there about reproduction of transients improved by LPC-based envelope shaping, could you comment on that, what that is?
Yeah, we used the LPC parameters we obtained in the frequency domain and applied this as a time envelope in the time domain. This is what I showed with the red blocks in the, on the overview diagram.
Thank you.
Thank you.